You. We'll get started here on our lesson of working with the Lord. What an amazing possibility for success as we serve Him and we make Him Lord, and He does the work and gives the increase. And thank the Lord, there is that opportunity to serve Him, worship Him, and obey His word. The working part of it is very much a part of it. I know we use that phrase, work for the Lord, and that's the title of our lesson, Working with the Lord. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Labor of love appears a couple of times in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians, and then in Hebrews. And just the whole aspect of working with the Lord, Paul used that reference, I believe, in 1 Corinthians 3, where he talked about we are laborers together with God. Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. And then he cautions how we build on the foundation, the only foundation being the Lord. So there's a definite partnership, but too often losing sight of the work part. We wait on the Lord, we trust the Lord, we believe the Lord, and sometimes it stands still, as the direction is, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But there's very much the work part also, isn't there? The focus thought brings out how we can be encouraged when we do God's work, because He's always with us. And we can add, because it's going to be successful, because it's going to be eternal, because the Lord is not going to let it fall or fail. Praise God. And so that encouragement comes from a number of directions. I thought about Mark 16 and 20, how the Lord went with them and working with them, confirming the word with signs following. And that is the actuality of where we are and how the Lord can work everywhere because of His power. Acts 18 gives the instance of Paul being assured by the Lord, encouraged by the Lord, verses 9 and 10. The Lord spoke to Paul in a night by a vision, and the first thing he said was, be not afraid. That's a good word to hear, isn't it? And circumstances are piled up against you, opposition raising its head, things not working the way you would like, just all kinds of things that are maybe in disarray. At least from our viewpoint, the Lord says, be not afraid. And then he went on to say, speak and hold not thy peace. And the reason is, I am with thee. And that's the main reason. Praise God. And then he goes on and expands the promise, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And then the harvest. I have much people in this city. And that is the beautiful aspect of this promise that Paul received from the Lord. Be not afraid. Go ahead and speak. Don't hold your peace. I'm with you. Nobody's going to hurt you. And there's a lot of people that I have in this city. Praise God. So the Lord inspired confidence in the apostle. And confidence is an area that is very needed in every endeavor, every aspect of working for the Lord. Confidence, trying to do your best. Amen. And as a leader, you know, everybody who serves God is a leader, because you're definitely doing what the rest of society doesn't value anymore. and doesn't champion anymore. Amazing how confirmation hearings in Congress that religious beliefs are constantly challenged. And is that going to get in the way of your judgment and all of that sort of stuff, you know? Whereas if the tables were turned and the one who is being questioned so thoroughly could ask questions of the questioners and ask, are your values clouding your judgment? They would very much have to answer yes. But the idea that you are a leader from the standpoint of trying to lead your family in serving God, you're trying to lead your friends and acquaintances and anybody else that the Lord opens up the possibilities for you to lead, is definitely an aspect that's got to be evaluated and prized and built upon. Paul wrote in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that good work is something that continues within you as well as on the outside of you as you exercise leadership with confidence that the Lord is going to direct you and provide for you. Think about Noah. Think about Noah. And what a task that was placed upon him. The warning of a flood had never happened before. The rain had never fallen before. So things that were not seen, is how Hebrews 11 says, moved by things that were not seen, he built an ark to the saving of his house. That took quite a bit of leadership, didn't it? Getting all the materials, ordering the day, then the week, then the month, then the years, and the century. A long time it took to build that thing. And the leadership that he exercised resulted in the statement in Genesis 6:22, Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. That's quite a summary. And thank God, Hebrews 11 points out that he did it to the saving of his house. And that it was a reward that he had, not only for him and his wife, but for his sons and their wives, and how he led them in service. Salvation will result in service. Amen. You may have seen on the entryway of some churches something about enter to worship or enter to be saved or something along that, and that's on the outside, you know, to enter in, and then on the inside as you exit out, you see leave to serve or words to that effect. Salvation will result in service. And we try to impress upon our young people, it's not serve us, it's service. And they are to render that service to the Lord, to the church, to others that they come in contact with, and the work that God has called them to do. And spiritual strength is the key to that service. That can't be languishing, can't be lackadaisical, can't be just, oh, well, somebody will do it. No, we step forward and let the Lord use us. Praise God. You know, it's amazing that the Lord said that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. It's a light that needs to shine. It needs to be available. And I like the implication there that the Lord is making. The light is not going to be hidden. It's not going to be extinguished. It's not going to be minimized. It's a light that is going to continue to shine. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that that is the power that the Lord wants to reveal as we do a work for him and desire to lift him up and show his power and his might. Now, Hebrews 12 says to lay aside the weight. We haven't had an astronaut in space for quite a while. But I remember when the Apollo shots were going up, and the training that the astronauts had, they trained in pools, swimming pools, so that there would be the feeling of weightlessness. And the actions that they had to do, the work that they had to do, you know, that big boom and so on with the space shuttle and launching satellites and the different things that they did, they had to feel what it was like to work without weight restriction. And then they took them up in the airplane, and I think it was called a parabolic dive. The airplane would go into that dive, and there would be that feeling of weightlessness for a minute or so. And then they would, you know, you saw pictures of them pushing themselves off the side of the aircraft, and they're floating along there. And then the plane pulled out of the dive, and gravity again was established, and they had that weight. The moon had about 1/6, if I remember right, 1/6 of the gravitational pull of that on Earth. So they had to become familiar with what it felt like to work in those circumstances. No wonder the Bible tells us, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Praise God. And to recognize, okay, I can work better for him when I'm weightless. And that's the whole idea there of being able to do the work of the Lord and understand how he can help us in this aspect. And we don't have to practice underwater. We don't have to go to the moon. We just have to lay aside the weights that are going to hold us back. What are some of those weights? We're not just talking rhetorical or philosophical. Let's go ahead and name some of those weights that we should lay aside. Okay, a past that would impede us, that would hold us back, that would, the devil loves to use that past. Look at what you did. Look how you fouled up. Look at what the mess you made. And praise God, I'm thankful the Lord promises in his word, I will not remember their sins. He says it in Jeremiah, says it twice in Hebrews, and again you can find, praise God, the Lord has forgotten that past, and we use it as an impetus to step forward in the power of the Lord. What other weights? Brother Greg? Okay. All right, and that tangled, that entanglement, the Lord says it, and Paul says it. He said, you're a good warrior, you're a good soldier, don't entangle yourself, and so on. So there are things that we stay clear of, things that we stay away from. There are different kinds of nets that are used in fishing. A variety of nets. A gill net is almost invisible in the water. As a fish swimming along doesn't see it, sticks its nose in and tries to swim against that little barrier of net, and then its gill flaps, when it tries to get away from the net, the gill flaps are stuck in the mesh. And sometimes the devil's got situations like that. We're moving along, you know, in our service to the Lord. And we've got to be ready to back up quickly when we encounter a trap and a net like that. And I've said before, it's interesting that what we find or what we use on the computer is called internet and a web site, a worldwide web. And I don't think it's a mistake that those are called that. I think it's a warning for us. Make sure we're staying clear of what we have no business being in, and then use it for good. Thank the Lord, it can be used for good. Amen. That's the direction we need to go. Anything else? Fear is a torment, the Bible says, a torment. And that's why the Lord told Paul, be not afraid. I read one author who said there are enough fear nots in the scripture for every day of the year. Now, I looked up fear not in the scripture, and there aren't 365. But what he was referring to was all of the fear not, be not afraid, and so on. All of those collectively in the Bible are enough for one per day. Praise God. So that's a good, when you're taking your vitamins, be sure you take a fear not from the Lord. Because fear is definitely an aspect. Anyway, to move on here, the cares of this life he warned against, and surfeiting, which is overeating, which can be expanded to any appetite at all. Be in control. Don't let those appetites become ruling you, controlling you. You control them. And the cares of this life, riches, so on. Lay aside those weights, because they're not going to be helpful to you at all in doing the will of the Lord. The opposition that we find in doing the work of God is interesting. Remember that the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, who sent his spokesman, Rabshakeh, to Jerusalem and had words directly to Hezekiah and the people of God. And the delegation that went out to speak to Rabshakeh implored him, we understand your language. Speak to us in your language, because they didn't want the people back on the wall to hear his boasts. He caught on real quick to what was going on, and he shouted out in Hebrew so that everybody could hear. And what he said was, don't let Hezekiah talk you into believing your God. Don't let Hezekiah convince you that your God can deliver you. And then he goes through the list. Where are the gods of, you know, and he names all of those. And we conquered all of those people. Their gods are all destroyed. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. And, you know, that kind of aspect. And that's what the devil does today. Don't let the word of God deceive you. Don't let the word of God convince you. Don't think that you're above, you know. But praise God, I'm thankful. The outcome of that situation was drastically changed, and the Lord showed up and showed off. And one angel took care of 185,000 of Sennacherib's army. And Sennacherib himself went into his temple to worship his gods, and his own sons took his life in the temple that he was worshiping in. So the Lord knows how to make things turn out for his glory. Moses had a huge challenge, and that challenge was to lead the people of Israel. And he's 80 years old now, 40 years that he spent in Egypt, 40 years that he spent in the desert, and now the next 40 years he's going to spend in the wilderness with the people of God. So a huge challenge that he had in leading the people of Israel. I read some of that this morning of how the plagues came. And it's interesting that the Lord said, I'm going to do these plagues, and you're going to remind your children of what I did. I like the way the Lord is always looking ahead and saying, The next generation needs to know this. And when they come asking, or when they say, what does it mean? And you have a way to explain to them. Praise God. And so the effort that our teachers are making downstairs right now is a good thing. The effort that you make as parents is a good thing. Our youth leaders, who happen to be Sunday school teachers also, have a huge responsibility to pass this message on to the next generation. The Lord honors that, and the Lord desires that. Praise God. And that's why we need to be supportive in prayer and just supportive of them in every way that we can. And they only have 45 minutes, so get here on time so that those kids have the full 45 minutes and the benefits of it. Okay, so here's Moses leading the people out. It's never been done before. Get 2 million people plus out of one nation, lead them to the promised land. Right. There's a road there. There's bridges. We'll just follow the path. No, there was no path. They followed the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of fire by, or the pillar of cloud by day. And there was continual resistance from Pharaoh's court all the way to the muddy banks of the Jordan. There was opposition. There was continual resistance. And breaking out of an old lifestyle. It's been 430 years that they've been in Egypt from Joseph on. Now, there was great favor with Joseph. There were a lot of things that were had gone well. But then Joseph passed away. A Pharaoh arose that did not remember the benefits that Joseph brought to Egypt, and things definitely went downhill. So then they became a slave nation. Now, for them to move out of that mindset, for them to forget the past, for them to move and step out from fear and the entanglements of what they were involved in and how they had to do the work of slaves. For them to step into a new lifestyle is took some change, a new paradigm, a new mindset. The immensity of the task for Moses was something that he faced every day. And certainly discouragement was there to pull him down. A lack of confidence? Oh, don't you know the devil was hammering on that? A lack of confidence. You can't do this. You're not qualified. You're not able. You're not, all of that stuff. But when it came time for the spies to go into the promised land, they came back with a report that was in agreement. It's a beautiful land. It is flowing with milk and honey. Look at all the evidence here that we brought, all of these grapes. And but there's giants in the land. Two of them acknowledged the giants but said, we can beat them. We can take care of it. We can enter the land. We can occupy it. 10 of them said we can't. And that's who was believed. Unfortunately, that discouragement settled pretty strong on them. And the leadership of Moses, I like that. Three things that were in the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, those cherubims looking down on the mercy seat and so on. He lifts the lid of that Ark, and there are three things in there. You remember what they are? The pot of manna, which is a miracle. Every day you were supposed to draw or gather manna, and if you gathered any extra, what happened to it? Spoiled. But that pot of manna was there so that the next generation would know this is what God did for you. Okay, what else? Aaron's rod that budded, that came to life. It was resurrected. Amen. The leadership that God puts in your life can bring an abundance of life. Praise God. And then, of course, the tables of stone. So, the miracles, always there of what the Lord would be able to do. And yet, there were a group who said, we need to go back. We remember. You know, what they should have remembered, instead of the fish, was their baby boys drowning in the Nile instead of pulling fish out of the Nile. That's what they should have remembered. And what they should have remembered was the backbreaking work of the pyramids and so on, instead of bending over and digging in their garden and getting leeks and watermelons and onions and so on, and garlics. That's what they should have remembered. But let's go back. That's what they wanted to do. And that sin was a problem. So Moses had to work through all of those situations, and praise God, he did. And so it's no wonder he was, you know, you might kind of excuse him for hitting the rock the second time instead of speaking to it. He's pretty upset. He's a meek man, but he's still a man. And so he smote the rock instead of speaking to it, which was a type. The Lord being smitten on the cross, and water came out when the spear was jabbed in him. And the second time water would come from the rock would be to speak to it, which was the Holy Ghost. And so that type was broken, and that's why the problem for Moses existed. But the Lord would bring encouragement. The Lord would bring power. The Lord would bring provision. He's our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our encourager. He's all of these aspects that we can put our trust in and provide that he is going to be there. Praise God. And so, speaking to Paul in this vision would be an uplift. Amen. And thank God the Lord can speak to us through his word, speak to us in vision, speak to us in tongues and interpretation, speak to us in a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. He has all of these means that he can minister to us. But they're always going to agree with Scripture. They're not going to depart from that. They're not going to go off on a tangent. And unfortunately, some people have allowed that to happen. And we've got to be careful. We've got to make sure we're following in the plan of the Lord. Now, Saul of Tarsus, who held the coats of those who were stoning Stephen to death, he was consenting to Stephen's death, the first martyr, the first one to give his life for the gospel, had in his mind that he was doing the right thing. He's going to eliminate this group of people who worship Jesus, and he was going to hold to the traditions and the law of Moses. He's very well schooled in it. He was very studious and very adamant in how he believed you're supposed to worship. So he's on his way to Damascus, and we know the story. The Lord knocked him down. The Lord spoke to him, and he, of course, inquired, "Who art thou, Lord?" Because he's hearing this voice. He saw this light, and the Lord said, "I am Jesus." And that convinced him right there. And then the work of repentance. Because I really think that seeing Stephen having his life snuffed out of him by a pile of stones cast upon him stayed in Saul of Tarsus' mind, especially the prayer of Stephen, "Lay not this sin to their charge." Ooh, that stayed with him. So now he's talking to the Lord, just as Stephen did, and he says, "What wilt thou have me to do?" The Lord directed him to Straight Street. The Lord told him, "Ananias is coming to pray for you. You will receive your sight, and you're going to hear what I have, the work that I have for you." Ananias is praying, and the Lord speaks to him. I like the way the Lord can work on both ends at the same time. We only see from one end unless the Lord shows us. And the Lord showed Saul of Tarsus. So now, he's been fasting and praying for 3 days. He can't see. He's got these scales in his eyes. And he's definitely in tune with the Lord now. Oh, God, I want to know. Where's Ananias, Lord? Help him to come. And Ananias is told, go pray for Saul of Tarsus. Oh, God, are you sure? Is this really you, Lord? You know, a lot of those feelings that could be there. And the Lord assured Ananias that he appeared to him and that he has seen in a dream and a vision a man named Ananias coming to pray for him. So Ananias shows up. And Saul's heart, you know, I think in those 3 days of praying, I think he's done a lot of reflecting. I think his memory has been working overtime. I think he can see Stephen laying there on the ground and the stones there and Saul holding those quotes. And I think he can hear him pray over and over, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And so when Ananias shows up and says, Brother Saul, oh my, I think that did more to even melt his heart. I think that did more to get his attention of what the Lord was trying to do. And I think it really drew him into even deeper awareness of how much he was messing up in trying to destroy the church. So, all of these things that the Lord was doing helped Saul to become Paul, the apostle, who would make 3 missionary journeys, some say 4 missionary journeys, counting that one going to Rome, and how he would stand for the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Saul, Paul, as we know, in a directional way, the man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And then the Lord spoke to him in this text that we have here from Acts 18 to give him encouragement to remain. You know, go ahead and speak. Don't be fearful. Nobody's going to hurt you. I'm here with you. And I have many people here. You just got to find them. And as you speak boldly, and as you speak the word of God, and you stand upon my promise, you're going to find them. And I think that's a word for us today, isn't it? Amen. That we can know the blessings of the Lord. So the encouragement that came from God, the encouragement that came from himself and from others, praise God. Thank the Lord. Encouragement most frequently comes from other believers. And thank the Lord that would be the case for Paul, who heard the Lord say, be not afraid. The Lord said that several times, those 3 words, be not afraid. Jairus' daughter, 12 years old, near death, the word comes, she's dead. Be not afraid. Sounds almost foolish till you realize who's the one that said it. He's the resurrection and the life. Praise God. And that 12-year-old daughter came back to life. The disciples in the storm, they're in the boat, they wake Jesus up. He says, be not afraid. It's flat calm. The women who met Jesus were concerned about who's going to roll the stone aside. What are we going to do? There's a seal. There's soldiers. They met the Lord. Be not afraid. Praise God. I'm glad that the Lord can speak that to us as well. and know that He is with us, laborers together with the Lord. And Matthew 28 and 20, I am with you always. That's a powerful I am, isn't it? Praise God. I am with you always. So the laborers together idea, laborers together with God, is a beautiful thing. Okay, here's some fill-ins for you. Our Christian fellowship and harmony is what can bring us strength and encouragement. And in that fellowship, there's light and love and truth. And we know that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Christian service is worthy of sacrifice. Salvation, service, sacrifice, because the results are eternal. And working with the Lord brings salvation of souls, and that's what's eternal. And thank God that there's that potential to see the hand of God at work to bring about a change in people's lives. The Spirit working through you to bring salvation to others is incredibly rewarding. And because the results are eternal. Amen. And I'm thankful that there's that significance of the power of the Lord. You know, James, or rather John 14, verse 1 is repeated in verse 27. Let not your heart be troubled. Lots of things to trouble our heart today, isn't there? Sickness and stuff going on in society. And, there's still earthquakes or aftershocks going on in Anchorage. I wonder how many people have decided to leave leave Anchorage. Just don't like the shaking. Lots of things to cause our hearts to be troubled, but the Lord is declaring it, and He said it twice, beginning verse 1 and also verse 27, let not your heart be troubled. Thank God for that power and that blessing. All right, here's a verse that I want us to look at as we come to a close. I'm going to give extra time for prayer today because that's a work from that we do with the Lord. Amen. Working with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, I want us to take a look at because the apostle is giving very strong evidence for the fact that the resurrection. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? You know, he goes on about that. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. He's doing all of this victory and power and resurrection and so on. And then he says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, do we know it? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. So that aspect of power is the impetus behind his statement here. To be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. And the work of the Lord is our focus. The work of the Lord is our purpose. The work of the Lord is our priority. Amen. So be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in it. Because it's not in vain. Your labor is not in vain. You know, there are some things that we do that... We wasted our time. We just look back on it and think, oh, man, I just worked a long time on this project. It's not necessary. How many times have things like that happened? Well, too often, I guess. But your labor in the Lord is not going to have that ending. It's not going to have that outcome. Praise God. It's going to be productive and powerful. And prayer is definitely one of those areas that we don't want to give up on. Amen. I know we like to be busy. We like to have your hands on. We like to be a part and so on. And prayer to some degree is that. But most of the time it's just saying, Lord, we need your help. Lord, you're the one who can heal. Lord, you're the one who can make the way. Lord, you're the one who can provide. Praise God. And so we pray today for those who are recovering from surgery. We thank the Lord for Brother Merle, Brother Steve, and the aspect here of healing that is evident in their lives.